second message tonight. You'll get it. All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27 tonight. I apologize if I sound a little congested. It's because I am. And some of you have had this too. It snuck up on me. I made it all through the winter without any kind of this stuff, and then it just got me. So, just want to remind those of you who are Sunday school teachers next Sunday, Sunday school will run from 10 to 10:30, and then we'll break, and church will start at 10:45. So that's just a reminder for those of you who may not have heard that this morning. It's great to be saved, isn't it? Great to know the Lord Jesus, our Savior. My, this is good. Good to see everybody back tonight. I have been going through bus pictures here in the last week and scanning them. And I told my class today, I said, everybody around here is getting older. I just can't believe it, you know. I'm not, but everybody else is. Even Danny was a little skinnier back in those days, too, than he is now. You're one that never changes much, but when you look back, wow, you change. Yeah. Yes, sir. 1 Samuel chapter 27. I want to... Yeah, boy. And in one of those pictures, I had glasses about this big, too. Times change, don't they? Well, it's good to be here. This message tonight, I prepared yesterday, and I actually had thought about, I thought the Lord was leading in another direction yesterday morning, and I just couldn't shake this message. So it's for somebody here. I know one somebody it's for. And maybe it's for you, too. I have entitled the message, Brother Bones, or whoever's up there, Greg. I've entitled it, But David Encouraged Himself in the Lord. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. We're going to look here in 1 Samuel 27, and then we're going to go over to chapter 30 and read some scripture together. First of all, in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maloch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again, and sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thy sight, in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore, Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Now, I want you to skip over to chapter 30, if you would, with me. Chapter 30. And we'll begin reading verse number 1 there. Now, in the in-between time, what's happened here is David and his men have been called up to go with Achish to war against Israel. And the lords of the Philistines said, What are these Hebrews doing here? Send them back home. And so David and his men are now going back to Ziklag. And in verse, or chapter 30, it says, And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Can I say this right here? That was an act of God right there. The Amalekites were a mean, vicious people, and they did not save anybody alive. God allowed him to save those people, them to save those people alive. So David, in verse number 3, and his men came to Ziklag, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Tonight I want to preach a message about discouragement and how to deal with discouragement. I would say if you have never been discouraged, sometime if you live long enough, you will be discouraged. It is said that the devil advertised that he was putting all his wares on sale. He's going to have a big sale. And the devil got out all his tools and laid them out. And he put prices on all of them. And the day of the sale came. And it was quite a collection, really. Because those tools, in that set of tools, there was hatred, there was envy, jealousy, deceit, pride. The inventory of the devil's tools were pretty treacherous, really. And off to the side was one well-worn tool, and it was priced significantly higher than the other tools the devil had out there. And one of the customers that was looking at the devil's tools came up and asked him, he said, what's the name on this tool? And the devil said, that is discouragement. Well, the customer said, but why is it priced so high? Why do you have it priced higher than all these other tools you have out here? And the devil smiled and explained. He said, because discouragement is more useful to me than any of the others. I use it to pry open a man's heart, and then I can get to him where other sins won't. If I can get his heart open through discouragement, I can really, really get him then. And I use this, it's well worn because I use it on almost everybody since so few people know that it belongs to me. You know, few tools of the devil are so effective in dealing or derailing the children of God than that one thing right there of discouragement. Discouragement. You know, the devil can defeat people with discouragement probably more than he can through immorality, through greed, or apostasy. It's that sin of discouragement. And when we come here to 1 Samuel 27, we see that David is really, really, really discouraged. I mean, he is down. And if you don't read it there, you don't see that. There's something wrong because David is discouraged because he says this in his heart. And by the way, could I say that anything we say in our heart is a loudspeaker to heaven? That's why it's recorded for us. He never said it out loud. He said all these words in his heart. He said it in his heart. And David is prompted to do something wrong because of a severe case of discouragement. He is absolutely down. He is discouraged about his situation in Israel concerning Saul. Saul has been chasing him all around, trying to kill him. And he says, there's nothing better for me than to go over to the enemy's camp and at least I'll be safe. At least I'll have some peace in my heart. Now, that might sound like a good thing to do, but really it wasn't the will of God for him to do it. You see, when we are discouraged, it's a tool of the devil. It's a tool of the devil. Instead of being discouraged, we ought to delight ourselves in the Lord. So instead of discouragement, we ought to have delight. But the fact of the matter is, when we're in the midst of discouragement, we sure don't think about delighting ourselves in the Lord. You've been there, haven't you? I have been also. So what I want to do tonight is I want to look at what happened to David. How did he get discouraged? And then, how did David encourage himself? Because the Bible says he did encourage himself in the Lord. And I don't know where you are tonight, but I got a hunch that somebody in this room might be discouraged. You might be down. The first thing I want you to see about discouragement is that discouragement will drive you from God. Discouragement will drive you from God. David's perspective on this whole situation was entirely wrong. Because you look at what he says here in chapter 27 again. The Bible says, one day I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul. Now, David certainly did have big problems with Saul, but he exaggerated the problem here. He's thinking, my life is pretty short. I'm going to be dead in just a few, could be days, could be a year or so. I'm going to be a dead man. And you know what? That is what discouragement does to the heart. It causes you and me to exaggerate the situation. I mean, it wasn't as bad as what it seemed, but David, to him, it looked like it was a big deal. And he said, there's nothing better for me than to escape over to Gath. Now, wait a minute, David.
You just killed a giant when you were 17 at least, who was the enemy of God, and God caused you to be a great victor. And now you're talking about going to the enemy's camp? You're talking about going over there to those giants? You see, discouragement will cause you to think wrong thoughts that aren't true. And he had more proof that God was with him than that God was against him. God had been with him. God had delivered him. He had delivered him several times from Saul. But that wasn't in his mind. He thought, I'm tired of this running around, and I'm going to die someday. There's nothing better than to get out of here. You know, it's fatalistic. Discouragement is. It's fatalistic, and it exaggerates the situation. You know, when I think about that, I think about Jacob. Do you remember when his sons brought back Joseph's garment? It was torn and had blood all over it. And when Jacob saw that garment in Genesis chapter 37, he came to this exaggerated conclusion. He said, an evil beast has rent him in pieces. And the Bible says he refused to be comforted. Now, if you look at that, Jacob should have looked at that garment, because if a garment's torn and a garment has blood on it, sure shooting, you're going to find some flesh there too, right? There's going to be an arm, there's going to be a tooth, there's going to be something else besides just the garment. But he exaggerated the situation and said, my son's been torn in pieces, and he refused to be comforted. He exaggerated the situation. He was discouraged, and David did the same thing here. He was not thinking correctly. And you know what? When we don't think correctly, it will cause us to do some other things that we probably should not do. I know we shouldn't do, but when you're discouraged, when you're down, and when discouragement gets you down, you start thinking wrong, and you'll start doing some wrong things. And that's what David did here. And it behooves us to fight discouragement earnestly and not to view our problems incorrectly. Because I've said this before, and I'll say it again, everything that comes through my life comes through the hand of God first. Was what David experienced in Israel of God? Yes, it was. It was preparing him to humble him so that God could exalt him in due time. And sometimes when things come into our life, instead of being discouraged, we ought to say, Lord, I don't know why you sent this. I can't see anything good in it, but I know you're good. I know you're good to me. And I know you've allowed this in my life for a purpose, and therefore I thank you for it, and help me to delight myself in you when I can't delight in this situation. I just don't like it. You've been there, haven't you? And sometimes our response is not that way. Oh, my soul, we sound like Eeyore. Oh, no, it's a terrible day. Instead of being Eeyore Christians, we ought to be Tigger Christians. Delight, 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 delight yourself in the Lord, you know? Delight. That's what we ought to do. But because David's perspective was wrong, it led him to the place that was wrong. The place that was wrong. You'll see it here. He went and dwelt, in verse 3, in Achish. He went and dwelt with Achish. That's the king of the Philistines, one of the kings of the Philistines. And not only did he go, but everybody else went with him. Now, why do I say this place was wrong? It's because God had already given him directions and instructions on where he was supposed to be. Now, when I saw this yesterday, I thought, wow, this is incredible. It's back in chapter 22. Look there with me. God sent the prophet Gad to David, and he gave him instructions on where he was supposed to be in 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 5. The Bible says here, the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came unto the forest of Hereth. Well, that was good. But you see, God didn't change it. He said, stay in Judah. God never gave him any further instructions from there. And when God tells you to stay in a place, he means for you to stay there. But when we're discouraged, we think, man, this place is bad. I got to go over here and check this place out over here. You know, and that's exactly what David did. He didn't think about the will of God. And when you're discouraged, you think about, I got to change the place. I got to change the people. I got to change something because this just isn't working out. And so he went to the wrong place. God wanted David to stay in Israel. Why? Because the people of Israel would know where David was and what he was doing. Why? Because David was going to be the king of Israel. But there were people there that didn't like David. Oh, well, if you're in leadership at all, some people aren't going to like you. They're going to talk bad about you. And there were people, the king was talking bad about David. And if you find out where he is, you tell me so I can kill him. And so there's always going to be people around like that. But the fact of the matter is God can hide you and God can keep you safe when you're in the will of God. And the will of God for David in this situation was to stay in Judah, not go over to Gath, not go over to Achish, an ungodly man. But when you're discouraged, when you're down, you sure don't think about the will of God. You think about what will fit me best, what will save my skin, what will take care of me. Discouragement can cause us to leave the place where God wants us to be. You see, make sure that God's directing you to a place. Make sure God is sending you there and not your will. Because when we do that, you see what David was doing? When he got discouraged and left the place and he figured that God's will was not right for him, he said, God, you're not right. I'm right. I know your will for me, and your will for me is to go over there. And what we do is we dethrone God. We say, God, my decision and what I think is better than what you think. And can I humbly admit to you that what we think is not worth 2 cents? But what God thinks is a whole lot more than 2 cents. And when you're discouraged, you think about doing something else. And by the way, instead of staying and going to Gath, it only compounded the problems. It didn't make it easier. It made it worse. But something else that I want you to see is that David's decision to go to the wrong place also influenced others. It influenced others. You saw that there when we read the scripture in verses 2 and 3. His 600 men went with him, but not only them, their whole households went with him. So, you know, we all have influence. David had influence. And his men said, if David's going to Gath, we're going to Gath. And Mrs., I don't know what her name was, of one of the 600 men, said, but honey, do you think we ought to do that? And he said, well, yeah, if David's going over there, David's God's man. David knows what's right. Whoa. But see, when you're discouraged and you're down, you're going to make some wrong decisions, and you're going to cause others to make wrong decisions too and get out of the will of God. And so he put other people in peril because of that. And you end up in the wrong place with the wrong people in the wrong situation, and you end up outside of the will of God. So not only did discouragement drive David from God, but it also drove him from prayer. David didn't want to pray. Why? The reason why I say that is back there in chapter 30 where we were, go back there, and there's a verse I didn't read. When David was really, really discouraged, and the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord, in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8, the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You see, what I find here is David's asking God what to do. Now, a year and 4 months earlier, he wasn't asking God anything. He was thinking, there's nothing better for me than to leave here and get out of town. When you're discouraged, you sure don't feel like praying. You don't feel like praying at all. David did not inquire the Lord. And you see, if the devil can get us discouraged and get us out with God, we won't even inquire of him. We won't even think about inquiring of him. And by the way, could I say this? The man of God, Abiathar, and the ephod to inquire of God was with David a year and 4 months. The man of God, the priest, was with David. David could have inquired of God anytime he wanted to, but for a year and 4 months, he didn't ask God anything. You say, David's a man after God's own heart. Yeah, but he was a flesh just like you and me. And when you're discouraged, you don't want to talk to God. Because you know, at least you think you know what God's going to say. He's going to say, you're wrong and you need to get right. You need to repent. God doesn't change. It's us. We have to change. And so discouragement, he didn't want to pray. Do you realize there's nothing the devil dreads more than prayer? He doesn't want us to pray. because he loves to see us up to our eyes in work. Work, 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 work. Just busy, 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 busy. And he realizes that if we don't pray, then God can't work and nothing's done. Oh, there's stuff done, but there's not stuff done of eternal value. Somebody said this, Satan laughs at our toiling, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray, when we pray. And this is so familiar to us. We know we ought to pray, but when we're discouraged, we don't want to. That's the least thing from our mind. You know, could I insert this here? Brother Parker said that the men are going to have a prayer meeting, and we know that we need to pray. We know we should pray, but the fact of the matter is, we're just too busy. I mean, we've got stuff to do. And for that reason, the work of God plods forward instead of moves forward, and God does something, and God does some miracles in our lives and in our church. Oh my, we can do all the work, we can do all the plan, but if God's not in our plans and we don't seek him, then he'll say, okay, go fine, have at it. But like David, it won't turn out right. It won't turn out right. It won't. And you see, the root of discouragement is pride, and pride will always cause you and me to think that we don't need God and we don't need to pray. And you know what? Discouragement is sin. That's the fact of the matter. It's the devil's tool. It's the devil's lie. And when we get discouraged, the fact of the matter is God has to deal with that. Because the opposite of discouragement is delight. Delighting in the Lord. And so he deals with it. And he has to deal with it in David's life. And this is what he does. David's move to Philistia brought... brought some attractive dividends. And can I say this, that sin does have some attractive dividends. The dividend to David was he got a city in Gath. Woo! Because it belonged to the kings of Judah. It was theirs. Because Achish gave it to David. At least he had a place to stay when he was there. And I thought it ironic that he said, you know what, king, I don't want to stay here in the royal city. Can I live in the country? David loved the country. At least he was in the country. Thank you, David. He was in the country, but you know what? In the country, when you're out of God's will, it's not a nice place to live. And he was out of God's will. But everything worked out okay. And David's season outside the will of God caused his prophets to soon to become problems. The prophets you get out of God's will become headaches. And, oh, what in the world have I done? And that's what happened to David here. His prophets became problems. And I want you to know here that God did not chasten David for a full year and a half. A full year and 4 months. He didn't chasten him. Why? Why did God wait? Well, here is the answer. Because he wanted to give David time to repent. He wanted to get David time to get right with God. And when David wouldn't, then God had to deal with David about this thing about discouragement. And, you know, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, as many as I love, now watch the sequence here, I rebuke and chasten. It's always in that order. Rebuke and then chasten. That's the way it is with our children. If they won't listen to the word of reproof, get right, then son, you're not going to listen. I'm going to have to use the rod. God is gracious towards us. And he was being gracious toward David. David knew the will of God. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. He knew he was the anointed of God. But he stepped outside and God was dealing with him. He, no doubt he was rebuking him, but he didn't listen to the rebukes. So God said, okay, I'm going to have to take out the rod. And that's exactly what he does here. He takes out the rod. And you know what? If I don't heed the rebuke, then God uses this rod. And he begins to work forcefully in David's life. And God's chastening of David came in chapter, really, 29, when the Philistines went to war against Israel. And Achish said to David, David, you have to come with me because you're like a prince to me and you've been great. Now, the fact of the matter is David was not a prince. He was a liar. Because while he was living in Ziklag, he was going making raids on some other Amalekites and stealing their stuff and killing all the inhabitants so nobody could come back to Achish and tell him, David's killing us. So when he came back to Achish, and Achish said, David, where you been today? Oh, I've been in Israel, you know, wiping out some Israelites. Oh, give it to me. Yeah, but he was lying. He wasn't doing that. He was killing the Amalekites. He was lying. You see, when you get discouraged, there's other sins that follow it. Other sins. So he's lying about it. So when it's time to go with the Lord to the Philistine, or go to war against Israel, Achish says, you come with me. Well, you know this, and I think I've preached this before, this part of it, where they had the parade. I think of it like the Soviet Union, you know. And when all they have all the military men and all the military equipment pass by the lords of the Philistines. And they're watching all this as the troops march by. All these giants, you know, because in Gath they were giants. And here's all the giants marching by. And then the rear reward, the last part, here comes these scrawny little Hebrews. Shorties. They weren't shorts, they were shorties. And here they come. Oh, they're tough. They're valiant, you know. And they came marching through. And the lords of the Philistines saw them. And they said, hey, Achish, who is that? Oh, well, it's David. Yeah, he's been with me. He's been a great buddy of mine. He's my best friend. He's been with me for a full year and 4 months. Isn't that great? And they said, it's not great. We're going to war against Israel. And that one is the one they sang the dances and praised. Saul has killed his thousands. And David, his tens of thousands. He ain't going to war with us. And Achish came to David and said, David, I got bad news for you. The lords of the Philistines don't appreciate you going with us. And David said, oh, man, listen, Achish, we're like good buds, aren't we? Yeah, you've been really good to me. I wish I could go with you. Well, you're just going to have to go back to Ziklag. And David said, oh, praise the Lord. And so they headed back to Ziklag while the rest of the Philistines went. And you know the rest of the story. Saul was killed during that battle. So David goes back. He goes back, but God begins to chasten him. He chastens him. And you see, God doesn't want us living a double life. Can I say that again? God does not want you and me living a double life. He was in the wrong place. He was doing the wrong thing. He was living the wrong way. And he thought, nothing bad's happened to me yet. And that's what discouragement will do to you. You'll think, it's working out fine. Man, this is perfect. You talk to people that are out of God's will. Anything bad happened to you? No. You know, a year goes by. Anything? No, nothing bad's happened to me. But why does God put that off? Because he wants you to get right. And if you won't, then he will, if you're his child. And this is what was happening to David. He wouldn't, so God did. Now, they go. They get back to Ziklag. And when they get to Ziklag on the third day, they found their wives and their children taken, and the city was burned with fire, and they began to weep. Now, you and I know something that David and his men didn't know. They did not know that their wives and children were taken. They thought they were dead somewhere. The city is burned with fire. You see, they didn't know it. And that's the reason why they wept till they could not weep any longer. They wept and they wept. I can't imagine that. But these men, these 600 men, had brought their wives, their children with them, and they're all gone. You see what happens when you get out of God's will? You think the worst has happened. Oh, this is so bad. And they wept and they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. I don't know what they used to wipe their eyes with. They didn't have Kleenex. Oh, this is so bad. Oh, I can't cry anymore. You know who got us in this mess? The leader. It's his fault. It's his fault. That's why we're here. And they began to talk. Hey, you know what? He's been such a bad, rotten leader. I think we ought to kill him. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't David trying to escape being killed a year and 4 months earlier? And now his men talk about stoning him. You talk about rejection. David is thinking, Saul has rejected me. The men of Israel have rejected me. Now my men reject me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he finds himself really, really,
really discouraged. If you think he was discouraged a year and 4 months, now he is extremely discouraged. And so he is rejected. He's been rejected even by the Philistines. We don't want him going to war with us. And nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. What am I going to do? And you know what got him here? God got him to this point. Because God wanted him to get right. God was dealing with this sin of discouragement in his life. And God was trying to get his attention. And he wasn't listening. And so he finally gets to rock bottom. What am I going to do? And he does the right thing. He does the right thing. He encourages himself in the Lord. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. So there was some profit. There's some profit in chastening. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 tells us this, that God chastens us not for his profit, but for my profit. And that's what God was doing in David's life. He was chastening him for David's profit, so David would do well. However, it will not profit us. Chastisement doesn't profit us if we don't listen. You know how that happens with your children? You know, they've done something wrong. And they say, come here, I'm going to have to chasten you. Oh, Daddy, please don't. And you chasten them. Now, don't do that again. And about a week later, what happens? It didn't profit them, did it? Because they do the same thing again. Here we are again. We're going to have to take care of it again. It didn't profit them. Why didn't it profit? Because they didn't listen. We know correction profits when there's a change in behavior. Can I say that again? We know correction is profitable when it changes our behavior. And God says, I don't need to change, but you do. And so David realized, boy, I got some changing to do here. And so David did not despise this. He did not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be weary, the Bible says, when you're chastening the Lord, it's because he loves you. Did God love David? Oh, yes, he does. Or yes, he did. Can I ask you tonight, does God love you? Yes, you're his child. He loves you. And if God only chastens those whom he loves. So he didn't despise it. But I see that because of verse number 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, there's three great things that David profited in from God's correction. The first thing is that God's chastening drove David back to God. That's a good thing. Can I say it again? Chastening ought to get us back to God. That's what it should do. And there's some things here. The Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And Alexander McLaren said this. He said, here's one of the many eloquent buts of the Bible. David had to get back to the true track he had left, and that was the Lord. That's where we have to get back to. When we sin against the Lord, we got to get it right with him first. When we're discouraged instead of delighting, I've fallen out with God. And I got to get right with God. If you're discouraged tonight, if you're down, if you're thinking about changing places, get right with God. That's what you got to do first. And here is how David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's three things I think about this. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord involves recalling our past blessings from God. When David got alone with God and encouraged himself in the Lord, he thought about, what about my past blessings? Well, think about it. David had some past blessings. No doubt he thought about when Samuel brought this young shepherd and anointed him in the name of the Lord, the next king of Israel. Yeah, I am the next king. What am I doing here? God's been so good to me. He thought about how God had preserved his life. And you know what? When you're discouraged, you don't want to think about God's past blessings on you. But when you get humble, you start thinking about encouraging yourself in the Lord. Lord, look at what you've done for me. Look how good you've been to me. Hey, I could be in hell. I could have never been born. But I am. I could have been born someplace else and never heard the gospel. God, you've been so good to me. I'll tell you what, when I get discouraged, and Patty and I know this happens during our house too. I'm just being real tonight. When I get discouraged, you know what she says? Well, you know what? God's been good to us. I appreciate that. If you got somebody who encourages you in the Lord, you better thank God for it. Thank God for that person. So David encourages himself in the Lord, and he looks at the past blessings, what God had done for him. But you know, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, it involves contemplating God's incredible power, which is able to deliver you from your present problems when you humble yourself before him. Now, I didn't say God's amazing power. I didn't say that. I said his incredible power. It is incredible. Unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Ah, it's incredible. You see, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, you think about, boy, God is incredible. He is able to do anything. What you think is impossible is possible with God. And when I think about that, I think about all the possibilities. I don't know what David thought. He may have thought about Abraham and Sarah when they were way past years and having children. And the fact of the matter was, he was in that line. And God caused them to have a child who it was impossible. Humanly speaking, they were too old. But Abraham received strength, and Sarah did too. And he thought about that. And he thought about, you know, maybe his grandparents, what God had done. God had done some incredible things through his power in David's life. I said it this morning, through you, I've jumped over a wall. I mean, you're talking, whoa! That's superhero stuff. Oh, but we are able to do all things through him that loved us. We're able, through God's strength, to do it. A bow of steel or iron is broken with my arms. Nobody can do that naturally, but God can. He can give you the strength. He encouraged himself. And the fact that, look at what God's done in the past. Look at his incredible power. Look at how he's preserved my life. Even now, I don't deserve it. And the third thing, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, it involves meditating on the wonderful promises of God. Man, God had made some incredible promises to David. You're going to be the next king. He forgot about it when he got discouraged. He forgot that he'd been anointed. That was a promise. And God doesn't break his promises. But David forgot about it. But when he encouraged himself in the Lord, I will never leave thee. Oh, that's encouraging. Nor forsake thee. Oh, man, he won't leave me or forsake me. And when you get discouraged, you don't think about that. He's forgotten about me. He's forgotten where I am. He's just forgotten. But when you encourage yourself in the Lord, oh, my. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Ah, you see, you get your perspective right. And David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he got right with God. The second thing is the chastening drove him to pray. I've already mentioned that, but it encouraged him to pray. When we're discouraged, we don't want to pray, but we want people to solace us. When we're discouraged, we want, oh, Brother Jeff, no, don't be down. Oh, you're a great Farm Bureau agent, amen. You're doing a great job. Don't be discouraged. And we go, oh, that feels good. You know, thank you, Brother Scott. But you know what? About the time I leave, you're back on the floor again. We want people to build us up. But you know, when the Lord encourages us, and when we seek his face, wow, there's nothing like that kind of encouragement. When he encourages you, you feel like, oh, I feel like quitting. But when the Lord encourages you in his word, I mean, oh, let's go. And David got to praying again. And when you're humble, you want to know the Lord's will and you want to do it. A lot of people want to know God's will, but they don't want to do it. But when you're humble, and David was humble, he asked the question, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake it? You see, he has an interest in the will of God again. What do you want me to do? And that's a good thing. And so chastisement that gets us to pray is a good thing. Can I say it again? Chastisement that gets you and me to pray is a great thing if we listen to the rebuke. So it got him back to God. It got him to praying again. And the last thing is, it drove David from evil. It drove him from evil. And chastisement is good when it gets us out of the evil.
David's in an evil place. David's in the wrong place. And so he's got to get to the right place. And that's exactly what happened. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at it. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Look at how long he stays in Ziklag. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. Somebody told him some things there. And then chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Oh, he's praying again. Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. So he's asking God's direction. He didn't stay very long in Gath after that. He got back to the right place. He got back to where he was supposed to be. And he got back to living in the presence of the Lord and in a land that God had blessed. He got back. So chastisement is good when it gets us back to God and gets us back to praying and gets us back to the place where we ought to be. And that is separating from evil. Gath was an evil place. Gath was a place that God, he wasn't blessing there. So he had to separate himself. He separated, and God, he could hear God's voice, and he sure was delighting himself in the Lord instead of being discouraged. You know, the sin of discouragement is the devil's powerful weapon because it can cause you and me to depart from God and do some things we would never think about doing if we weren't discouraged. So God wants you and me to be encouraged. He wants us to seek after him. Can I ask you tonight, are you discouraged? The greatest encouragement is the Lord, is the Lord. There was a fellow in 2011, he was an 85-year-old man named Henry Morello. He was driving north of Phoenix, Arizona, and he realized that he was headed the wrong direction. In trying to turn his car around, he got stuck there in a ditch. He was unable to walk to the main road, and so he couldn't call for help or get help in any way. So he spent 5 days trapped in his car. In order to get some liquids, he broke open his wiper fluid container, and he drank that fluid. Now, I don't recommend that, kids. Don't do that at home, okay? But he drank that fluid. And then, in order to keep himself occupied, he took out his owner's manual to his car and read the entire thing all the way through. 5 days he was like that. When they finally found Mr. Morello, he was rescued, and doctors were amazed to find him in such a good condition after all of that. You know what? Those who really are thirsty for the Lord, who really desire for him, who have a desire for him, will seek the Lord with all their heart. Remember this, everything that enters your life and my life is Father filtered. There's a reason for it. You may not understand why, and it's not for you to wonder why, but just to humble yourself and say, Lord, I just trust you. I trust you. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. Tonight, are you discouraged? Are you down? You thinking about doing something different? Thinking about, man, I'm out of here. Can I say, don't do that. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Because anybody that seeks the Lord's face will always get encouraged. Think about what God's done for you in the past. Think about how God has given you victories in the past. Meditate on his greatness, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Encourage yourself in the Lord and pray. Because there will come a finality to it. There will come an end. And it's either going to be a chastening or, well, son, this is the end. I brought you through this to teach you something so you can help somebody else. And that's what it's all about, helping others. God brings us through things so we can help somebody else along life's path. That's what it's about. So are you discouraged? Encourage yourself in the Lord, just like David did here. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father.